Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A Letter to Heaven, Part 1, The Loss, by author Minister Danelle B. Tyon, covers the first 7 years after the death of her only sister, LaDon. It chronicles her struggle to accept her passing and keep her faith in spite of it. It demonstrates how her faith has grown because of it. God touched her in a way she says is hard to express in words, so her journaling and letters that she actually wrote to her sister after her death depict her spiritual journey throughout this novel. A Letter to Heaven shares the raw emotion of losing a loved one and the difficulty moving on in life without them. An inspirational memoir of sorrow, hope, and healing. An author, Reverend Danelle B. Tyon, our guest on This Week in America. Danelle, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's such a remarkable story that you tell, and it's a story that's going to help so many people that are going through the grief process and trying to sort it all out and make sense of it. And you do such a wonderful job of expressing how you were able to do this. Before we get into the actual story, a little bit about yourself. Tell us what we need to know about you, your background, so we understand where all of this is coming from in your book, A Letter to Heaven.
Okay. I was a strange child. I used to sit in the corner talking to myself. My mom would say that I was talking to my imaginary friend, and I would get mad at her and tell her he's not imaginary. He's just invisible. when I was 6 years old, he told me not to believe everything I hear, to take it with a grain of salt. And I had to go ask my mom what take it with a grain of salt meant. And she didn't really understand even why I was asking, nor did she believe me. When I was 8, I told my grandma that God told me I was going to write a book one day. And my grandma's response was, "Oh, Danny, God wouldn't talk to you because you're a woman. Oh. And only men can hold the special gift of the priesthood." I was raised in the Mormon church, and that's their belief. So I didn't talk to anybody after that until I was about 40 years old, about, you know, the fact that I spoke with God on almost a regular basis. And when I was 40, I had a bad horse riding accident. I was in the hospital, and they put a lady in the room with me who wouldn't let up. She forced me to open up and talk to her and admit that I heard God. And her reaction was one that impacted me really deeply. She believed me.
Yes.
And I've found in the 17 years since that the more people I tell, the more I find actually understand, and some of them even hear him too. So I'm not as weird as I thought I was.
It's a shame you spent all of those years wondering, is something wrong with me? They're telling me that I can't hear, and I know that I'm having these conversations. At age 8, you're told by God that you would write a book someday. Did you always know you were going to do this, or did this just sort of happen, and then you realized, wait a minute, this was actually, he told me when I was 8?
Yeah. I'd never thought about writing before that. I started journaling shortly after that. About the time I was 13, I was pretty steadily journaling, and I've never stopped since.
How important
I always wondered what, you know, why anybody would want to read what I had to say. I'm nobody, you know. But as I've gotten older, I've come to realize God uses a lot of nobodies. So.
Well, you are so important in reading the reviews of A Letter to Heaven, Part 1, The Loss, by our guest on the program, Danelle B. Tyon. That's T-Y-O-N. You may see it listed as Reverend D.B. Tyon. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places. Her website is bookslifeandliving.com. And if you go to our website, you'll be able to link on directly to her Amazon page and her website and get all of this information. Book at readersmagnet.com as well. How important was journaling as you were going through all of this? You didn't have anybody really to share these experiences with, it sounds like. It was just yourself and the journal. How important was that to write, to journal during this period?
It was critical. I don't know how else I would have coped with it. My mom kind of took the stance that LaDawn was still just living in Las Vegas and just never called anymore. You know,
yes.
For the first 5 years, she pretended LaDawn wasn't dead. And so anytime I tried to talk to her about her, you know, she would change the conversation. I didn't have, at the time, my husband was pretty supportive, but he was struggling with alcoholism all throughout our 14 years of marriage. And so there was, you know, a good part of the time that he was not there for me. And then he ended up leaving. So yeah, I felt pretty alone all these years. LaDawn was my only friend growing up. My dad was in the military and we moved around a lot and, you know, friends came and went, but LaDawn was always there.
Talk about her. Tell us a little bit about LaDawn and the impact that she had on you, because she lives on in you today, doesn't she?
I like to think so. The reason I decided to publish the book when I realized that my journaling was actually telling this story was because LaDawn always wanted to be. She was a model by the time she was 18, and she wanted to do movies and act and sing. And she always asked me if I would sing with her, and I said, "Yeah, if you put a sheet up behind you, and I can stand behind." I didn't want to be in the limelight. This isn't for me. This is to make her the star she always wanted to be, and to do what I believe God wants me to do.
You know, so often when you read a book dealing with loss and what someone goes through, you feel like, okay, this has been polished up a little bit. I'm not quite sure that sounds like how a real person would handle that. In reading A Letter to Heaven, Part One, The Loss by Danelle Tyon, our guest on the program, it's your raw emotion that I sense. Talk about that, because I sense this is very real. This is actually what you felt. You're not going back and sanitizing it to sell a book and for the general public. This is how you dealt with it. How difficult was that to have that raw emotion? And I obviously you felt, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this the right way and share how I felt. How difficult was this for you to go back over all of this and to write this book?
In places and at times it was really hard. There were periods where I had to just walk away from it and, you know, let it be for a day or so. When I got around to the formatting it into a book and editing and all that, you know, I had to go back through it over and over and over and read it from the start to make sure everything was right. And I found myself crying just reading through my own words. And it still is so raw today. She's been gone for 26 years. And yet in so many ways, it still feels like yesterday. The pain never goes away. You just learn how to deal with it. You just learn how to live with it.
And how difficult is that? There are people, as I say, struggling, going through all the stages of grief, which I'm sure you have gone through. How difficult, how long did it take you, and maybe you're not there yet even, how long did it take you before you were finally able to make some sense of this? I mentioned in the beginning your faith has actually grown during this period. I'm asking a lot of questions all at one time here. Let's start with, how long did it take you before you were able to come to terms with this? And if in fact that's the truth, have you come to terms, or are you still sort of sorting out what happened?
I've come to terms. It doesn't make it hurt any less because none of it made sense. I still don't understand the why of it all. She had two young boys, 3 and 5, that had to grow up without her. And her oldest, I remember standing in the bathroom and he asked me, "Aunt Danelle, if my mommy dies, can you be my mommy?" And I told him I couldn't because I was his aunt, but I would always be here for him. And I promised my sister I would do my best to take care of them as if they were my own. And Eric, who is 31 years old now, he'll be turning 32 on New Year's Eve. He lives with me now. He's been here since he was 24. We had lost touch for a while because his dad kind of got irritated about how much I talked about God. And it's all in the book, but he cut off communication between us when Eric was 10, and I didn't hear from him again until he found me on Facebook at 24. It was hard to even get to a point where I felt like I could say I had come to terms with it. But I think the realization was after 15 years, when I got looking at my journaling and I really realized it had told this, you know, story, and it was immense. And I decided in 2009 to publish it online as an ebook, and I published it all together. It was over 600 pages. And when I went to put it in paperback a few years later, I decided to cut it in half because that's just too thick of a book, I thought. So that's why there's a part one and part two right now. Each book covers 7 years, seven and a half about. But we're still living it. So, you know, I'm still journaling and I still write to my sister. I talk to her as if, you know, she was right here beside me sometimes. She's always present. And when I see, you know, her son growing and looking so much like my dad and yet looking like my sister, which is weird. Yes. Because I look like my dad and my sister look like my mom. It just hits me again, you know. We're still living this. We're actually living the last couple of years right now of what's going to be part four.
The book is that we're talking about specifically is part one, The Lost. Now, are the other parts available as well? And they'll find those on your website and Amazon, I assume. They can click. And there are other books that are out there that have been written by Donnell, and I'll mention those before we wrap up the program on the video portion. We'll show you some of the book covers of the other books that Donnell has written. In this book, there's a chapter you've got where you talk about September 11. Talk about that, because you're really aware of what family members went through, especially younger family members during that period. I know that was important to you to include that, and I know it's been helpful for a number of people.
I hope so. I felt, you know, if I could only even reach out to one person, it would be worth writing the book. September 11th, 2001 was, I think, a huge realization for the world about how vulnerable we really are. Yes. As human beings. And a reminder, too, about how connected we all really are. Even though the world seems so large, sometimes it's actually really small. And spiritually, we all share the same energy. So we all felt each other's pain. And I know I felt very strongly that night and the following week and for weeks after. And I wrote a lot about it. And I just wanted to let everyone who lost someone know that they could still talk to their loved one. I remember hearing kids talking on the news about, you know, could they send a letter to their dad in heaven? And I started laughing because, you know, I was writing these letters to my sister heaven.
Yes. That's absolutely.
So it seemed appropriate to put in there.
And again, it's so helpful. And boy, you talk about that period when all of a sudden we're talking to strangers and we're all becoming friendly. And you mentioned this sense that we're all in this together. And I don't know quite at what point. I guess it was gradual where we sort of lost that and become more antagonistic towards each other, it seems like now, than ever before. And unfortunately, people play up on that. And if we could just without without the tragedy, go back and recapture that spirit of just being together and working together, it would make life in the world a whole lot better place. The book is a Letter to Heaven, Part One, The Loss, and the others are available as well. Donnell Tyon, Donnell is D-E-N-N-E-L, and Tyon, T-Y-O-N. Her website is bookslifeandliving.com. Find the books at Amazon, all of the other books that she has written there as well. Talk a little bit about when you did this and the grief process you went through, because it's so difficult when people go through this. talk about that process you went through and being able to deal with this. How difficult was that for you?
Well, like I said, since LaDonna was my only sister, it was really difficult because I really felt alone for the first time in my life. And, you know, I didn't want to believe that she was gone, but I'd been there in the hospital with her when they took her off the ventilator. And I remember asking the doctor, you know, can't you do something to help her? Because she was struggling to breathe and it hurt. I could tell it hurt. And he said, no, we can't give her anything because that would be murder. And I thought, we do it for pets. I didn't understand why they couldn't do something to help her. But it just, you know, it pressed on my heart so much what she went through and how scary it must have been for her. And when they asked us if we wanted to just keep her on the ventilator and, you know, take her home and feed her through a feeding tube, I said, no, Dawn would go stark raving mad in a body that didn't work. There's no way she would have wanted that. So we did what we felt was best. And I remember mentioning in my book that somewhere along the way that it was kind of strange because in some ways it almost felt like LaDonna was closer than she had been for a lot of years because we lived a lot of miles apart. She went to stay with my dad when my parents divorced and she was 13, I was 11. And so from that point on, we weren't really together. But then when she was an adult, she moved to Las Vegas where my mom and I lived. And, you know, we regained that friendship in motherhood. And we only had that for a short 5 years. So it was really tough. It was.
Well, and you do such a nice job of capturing that. And we feel like we know you and your sister as you're telling your story. I mentioned an inspirational memoir of sorrow, hope, and healing. And you've got all of that in the book, what normal people go through in dealing with this. What is your hope? You sort of, I know when in sharing this story that there, your intention in doing that, what do you hope we take away? The reader takes away from reading A Letter to Heaven?
Well, that there is always hope. I know I reached a point where I told people I came as close as I ever could to understanding why some people commit suicide. Although I could never do that myself because I know how precious life is. And I know that I have a job to do here. And I think we all have a job to do here for however long we're here. And I guess LaDonna did her job pretty well.
Yes, her legacy lives on, doesn't it? In you and what you've done with the writing and the book. The book is A Letter to Heaven, Part 1. The other parts are available as well. The Part 1 is The Loss by Danelle Tyon, T-Y-O-N. We'll give you all that information before we wrap up here on the program. What are you working on now? You mentioned, are you working on Part 4 or is Part 4 finished?
Well, no, Part 4 is, like I said, we're still living the last couple of years. I'm journaling every day. A lot of my journaling in the past couple of years, though, has been related to the pandemic we've been going through. And I was going to mention when you talked about, you know, the closeness that we all had after 9/11, there was a touch of that when they ordered everybody to stay home, when we had the nationwide,
yes,
you know, stay-at-home orders. I saw a lot of that, you know, on the news, people standing on their balconies and communicating with each other in different ways, singing and applauding the, you know, the nurses and everybody when they come out. There was so much gratitude for each other shown during that time. I was really hopeful that we were going to get that back. And then it just seemed to not only dissolve, but just burn up so quickly. And it just turned into rage after, you know, the killing of George Floyd and all of that. And it's just been a real struggle these last couple of years for everybody. The world is on fire. It's not just me. I know that's why I wanted to put this book out there, I guess, is to reach out to everybody and let them know that they're not alone.
Well, and that's one of the themes in the book, the resilience of the human spirit, dealing with tragedy and suffering. It's something we can get through, can't we?
Sorry. You there?
Oh, still there? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is something that we can all get through.
Yeah, and I mean, we have to. Life goes on. That's one of the main things I did learn. No matter how bad you want to turn back the hands of time, you can't. The world goes on with or without you, so eventually you have to catch up. And I started remembering, you know, the thing God's told me through my life. And, you know, when I was little, I used to have visions. I still do sometimes, but not as often. In my visions, I was always an old silver-haired lady. So I was actually having an interview with Katie Couric in this one that I remember very vividly on the Today Show. But since she quit there, I realized that was not going to come true. But yeah, I figured I had time. So I kind of just, you know, went through the years and went wherever life led me. That's kind of, I don't know, I just like to roll with the flow, I guess. I don't feel like I'm in control anyway, so it doesn't do a lot of good to plan everything out, because plans never go as planned. So I've tried to just take each day as it comes and do the best with it that I can, and try to make progress toward what I knew God wanted me to do.
Well, and that's exactly what you've done. I mentioned the other books that that Danelle has written that are available. Briefly here, we've got a minute or so left. Talk about some of the other books you've written.
Well, there's part one and two, as you said. I've got, yes, got copies of them right here. I know you're going to show pictures of them later, but I had written a couple of children's books too. This is the first one I wrote. This is The Way I Brush My Teeth, an instruction manual for kids, basically written kind of in Dr. Seuss prose. The other one I just did a couple of years ago, it's called The Child President. I think that kind of speaks for itself. It's an enjoyable satire, and it has cute little innuendos in it that kids won't get, but parents will, and everybody can enjoy reading it together.
Yes.
Kids will just enjoy, you know, the funny language and the rhymes. And the pictures, I hand illustrated it all. My nephew, LaDon's oldest son, actually did a couple of the pages in there for me. He did the golf course and
fantastic.
The Space Force.
Fantastic.
And then I have this Trump, what was a Lesson for America 2020, about Trump. But this is my Pride and Joy, my poetry book, spiritual. I don't pretend to be a poet. I'd never written poetry before in my life. But about 14 years ago, I had a really intense two-week spiritual journey, and all that came out of me was poetry. So that's one of my babies.
Well, and that's the title's appropriate, Spiritual, a Book of Inspired Original Poetry. You've done such a wonderful job with your book, and again, with the Letter to Heaven series, you're touching so many people. The book is A Letter to Heaven, Part 1. Part 2 is also available out there, and you'll find all of that at Danelle's website. I'm going to give you all the information here. If you're going to Google, it's Danelle, D-E-N-N-E-L-B, Tyon, T-Y-O-N. Some of the books will have Reverend D.B. Tyon as well. If you go to our website, you'll find all of them there, bookslifeandliving.com. Amazon.com is a great place to get the books as well. And I know you've been working with the Reader's Magnet and getting the books out there, getting them publicized, getting people interested in reading and thus helping them with their lives. What's it been like working with Reader's Magnet?
Well, I've only recently gotten out there, but I've been working with Reader's Magnet for over a year, almost a year and a half, really. They've been so, so kind and so patient with me, because I, number one, I have Parkinson's, and so I tend to lose track of time. Days pass by without me even realizing it. At one point, I lost an entire 2019. I don't remember April. but I have so much other stuff going on too. I just kind of, you know, do what has to be done in the moment. And so it took me a long time to get to where I was ready for them to actually launch the website, and that I felt prepared for this interview, because a lifelong social phobic. I believe I am in recovery, but recovery is a journey, not a destination. I've made a lot of progress this year, though. Normally, I would be absolutely terrified right now to talking to you, and I'm okay with it. I feel good about this. This is supposed to be. Reader's Magnet has been awesome. I've dealt with probably four employees there, two primarily for the past year, though. Clive is my kind of counselor. Yes. He put everything together and make sure I stay on top of things. He called and checked with me every couple of weeks, you know, two a month. He didn't call and bug me all the time like a lot of other places have, trying to get me to go with them. And then Miguel, you know, works in the service department, financial side, and he's been just awfully sweet too. And we just got everything settled the other day, so my website should be up and running this afternoon. I'm honestly not sure if it's the word and or an ampersand sign. So if one doesn't work, try the other, I guess. Clive will get you the link, I'm sure, to put up when you post this. But
yeah, and that's a good for anybody. We'll get the right one up
about
there.
Reader's Magnet. Really, really, really been good to me.
Well, I really appreciate them putting us together for this interview today, and it's really been great having you on the program. You've done an excellent job in telling your story, and again, in a very positive way, touching so many people. We all go through moments of, if not months, years of grief, and looking to find out where we go from here and how to make sense of it all. And you take us by the hand and you walk us through that with the series. And the book specifically, A Letter to Heaven, Part 1, you'll find the others as well. This one, The Loss, by Danelle Tyon, book available at Amazon, bookslifeandliving.com. I'll make sure that that's correct. But if you go to Amazon, you'll find it. And check our website, thisweekinamerica.us, for all of this. Danelle, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully we can do it again and talk about the other books you've got upcoming. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
It has been a pleasure. A Letter to Heaven, Part 1, The Loss, by Danelle Tyon, T-Y-O-N. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.